Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge, text number 13. Chatur Varnyam Maya Shristam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha Tasya Kartaram Apimam Vidya Kartaram Avyayam. Chatu Varnyam. The four divisions of human society. Maya, by me. Shristam, created. Guna, of quality. Karma, and work. Vibhagashaha, in terms of division. Tasya, of that. Kartaram, the father. Api, although. Mam, me. Vidi, you may know. Akartaram, as the non-doer. Avyayam, unchangeable. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. According to the three modes of material nature and the work associated with them, the four divisions of human society are created by me. And although I am the creator of this system, you should know that I am yet the non-doer, being unchangeable. Purport. The Lord is the creator of everything. Everything is born of Him. Everything is sustained by Him. And everything after annihilation rests on Him, in Him. He is therefore the creator of the four divisions of the social order, beginning with the intelligent class of men, technically called brahmanas, due to their being situated in the mode of goodness. Next is the administrative class, technically called the kshatriyas, due to their being situated in the mode of passion. The mercantile men, called the vaishyas, are situated in the mixed modes of passion and ignorance. And the shudras, or labor class, are situated in the ignorant mode of material nature. In spite of His creating the four divisions of human society, Lord Krishna does not belong to any of these divisions. And because He is not one of the conditioned souls, a section of whom form human society, In spite of His creating the four divisions of human society, Lord Krishna does not belong to any of these divisions, because He is not one of the conditioned souls, a section of whom form human society. Human society is similar to any other animal society, but to elevate men from the animal status, the above-mentioned divisions are created by the Lord for the systematic development of Krishna consciousness. The tendency of a particular man towards work is determined by the modes of material nature which he has acquired. Such symptoms of life according to the different modes of material nature are described in the 18th chapter of this book. A person in Krishna consciousness is above even the brahmanas. Although brahmanas by quality are supposed to know about Brahman, the Supreme Absolute Truth, most of them approach only the impersonal Brahman manifestation of Lord Krishna. But a man who transcends the limited knowledge of a brahmana and reaches the knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, becomes a person in Krishna consciousness, or in other words, a Vaishnava. Krishna consciousness includes knowledge of all different plenary expansions of Krishna, namely Rama, Narsimha, Varaha, etc. And as Krishna is transcendental to the system of the four divisions of human society, person in Krishna consciousness is also transcendental to all the divisions of human society, whether we consider the divisions of community, nation, or species. So the verse again, Chaturavanyamaya shistam guna karma vibhagashaha tasya karataram apimam vidya karataram avyayam According to the three modes of material nature and the work associated with them, the four divisions of human society are created by me, and although I am the creator of the system, you should know that I am yet the non-doer, being unchangeable. We may wonder, what is our relationship with Varna and Ashram? Sometimes we hear that the devotees are supposed to implement Varna and Ashram in ISKCON. So that implies that Varna and Ashram is not going on. It's something we have to implement. But here Krishna says Varna and Ashram is eternal, as the three modes of material nature in this material world are eternal. So everyone, according to Bhagavad Gita, Sattvam Rajas Tamayiti Guna Prakriti Sambhava Nibandanta Mahabaho Dehe Dehinam Avyam, that the material nature itself consists of three modes: goodness, passion, ignorance. And when the living entity comes in contact with these modes, he becomes conditioned by them. So we're in the three modes of material nature. Our body is made out of the three modes. Of course, what does that mean? Because earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, they're not the three modes. They're formulated in a certain way by the three modes. Three modes are the creator of the different forms we see, and therefore they take on a certain quality. For instance, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Dumena vriyate vanira, yatar darsho vilena cha, yatar garanabhitasta tena. That's not right. Dumena vriyate vanir, yatar darsho vilena cha, yatar garanabhitasta tena. Ittal bena avrita garvas, ita tenedam avritam. Just like the fire is covered by smoke, or the embryo is covered by the womb, or the mirror is covered by dust, so the living entity is covered by different degrees of lust. So the animal bodies are made primarily in the mode of ignorance, darkest ignorance. So they're compared to just like the tree is actually compared to the embryo within the womb. And the animals are compared to just like the mirror covered by dust. And the human beings are compared to the fire is covered by smoke. But basically speaking, if one acts according to lustfully, which is born out of the mode of passion, Krishna says, lust and the mode of passion go together. As ignorance and anger go together with the mode of ignorance. If we want to see when the mode of ignorance is increasing, then we see its manifestation as anger, delusion, etc. Does anyone know that verse in Bhagavad Gita? When the manifestation of the mode of ignorance increases, what happens? What do we see? Otherwise, if we don't know the symptoms, how do we know if it's increasing? Aprakasho pravritisha pramado moha evacha tamasyaitani jayate. Is it? Yes, that's right. Tamasyaitani vivride kuru nandana. Aprakasho. So it is aprakasho. Prakash means illumination. Aprakash means when there is no illumination. There's a lack of consciousness, of awareness. Aprakasho pravriti, which is actually, should be a pravriti. Pravriti means activity, and apravriti means no activity. So when there's no illumination, there's no hardly any consciousness, awareness, and there's inactivity, aprakasho pravritis cha pramado, and complete delusion. I am this body, and I can't be anything other than the body. Aprakasho pravritischa pramado moha, and complete illusion. Pramado means actually madness and illusion. So they're pretty close to each other. When you're really an illusion, then you become mad. Aprakasho pravritischa pramado moha evacha. Tamasyetani jayate. Jayate means to be born, just like we have Janmasmi coming up. So the birth of Lord Krishna, jayate. Ruride kuru nandana. Ruride means when developed. So this is how we can tell when ignorance is developing, which has become very prominent in modern society. Prakasho, darkness. Even the young people nowadays, they walk around in black. Their faces are black. Their outfits are black. Their tattoos are black. Everything's black. Aprakasho, pravritis. Apravritis, people want to get out of doing things. The welfare state, especially in Europe. Get up in the morning, smoke some intoxication, get intoxicated, and spend the rest of the day sleeping before you go back to sleep. Pravritischa, pramado, madness. People are crazy. You talk to some person, they look perfectly normal, and you find out after talking to them for a couple of minutes, they're actually completely crazy. Especially nowadays, people walking down the street, and many people you think are talking to themselves, and you think, oh no, it must be on a mobile phone. And then you realize they don't have a mobile phone. They actually are talking to themselves. Pramado moha. And people are an illusion. To explain to someone that you're not this body, people don't accept so easily. And to try to explain to them that Darwin's theory of evolution is not accurate, we didn't come from the apes, they think you're a religious fanatic. You don't accept science. That from monkeys, human beings are being born all the time. Just look around you. Don't they all look like monkeys? Proves Darwin's theory of evolution. And in the mode of passion, there are also symptoms, which is loba, praviti aramba, karmana ashamaspriha, rajasyetani jayate, ride baratarshiva. Loba means greed. So, the people who are glorified in modern society are the greediest. They don't do anything. They've learned how to cheat everyone. They've manufactured that a piece of paper of no value, somehow or another, has more zeros on it. It becomes ever more valuable. They can just print something up. You may have 100 euros, 2 zeros, and they can print up the same piece of paper with 1,000 euros. And your 100 euros becomes worthless. Or worth much, much less. And that's the work they're doing, scheming how to cheat everyone out of their money. So this is called greed. What are they going to do with it? Put it in the bank and look at it. Look at their bank account and conclude how wonderful they are. And everyone else is struggling hard just to get something to eat. And they have something in the bank account with a whole bunch of zeros on it. And they're happy. Loba pravriti. They're very busy. Prabhupada said, just like the monkeys. There are 4 classes of people. Lazy intelligent, active intelligent, active foolish, and lazy foolish. And the most dangerous is the active foolish. So that's called pravriti. They're very busy. They're busy working hard to kill everyone, destroy everything. They're spending billions of dollars not in spreading Krishna consciousness, but in making supersonic weapons. Because otherwise, it would take us at least a couple of minutes before they killed everyone. So they want to make sure it happens in a couple of seconds. They're not satisfied. Pravritita, pramado moha evacha, karmana ashama. Karmana means great endeavor. Ashama, uncontrolled endeavor. Ever working harder and getting ever less in the material world. Previously, the man would work 8 hours a day and the woman would stay home and cook and take care of the children. But now they've progressed. Now the man works 12 hours a day and the woman works 14. Just so that she could be equal to man. And the children are out in the street selling drugs. Help support the family. And this is called progress. Karma ashama spriha. Spriha means desire. Uncontrolled desire. Previously, when there was no internet, people were happy if they can get something to eat and had a family, you know, sit around and read some story around the fireplace with the family. Now, no one even talks to each other. They have the desire to become the champion of, you know, the bat in the cave video game. And the whole family is just sitting around the table, just playing the game. If they won't have to say something to their father across the table, they text him. Otherwise they can't get his attention. So this is called uncontrolled desire. Everyone is making a certain amount of money and they're spending twice as much every week on credit because they have uncontrolled desires. Rajasya Dhani Jayate Rivide. So this is the modes of nature. They're going on, as we can see, and people are of a certain quality according to the mode they've developed. We don't have to call them brahmanas or kshatriyas or vaishyas and shudras, because practically everyone isn't simply in the mode of ignorance. Therefore, if we start calling people brahmanas, it wouldn't be very accurate because hardly there are any real brahmans and kshatriyas or vaishyas. There's a few, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada said, because there's no religion and there is no understanding of the goal of life, namely liberation, all we have in modern society is a few cheaters, and a whole lot of people being cheated. A few people in so-called expert economic development, and a whole other bunch of people trying to utilize those so-called economic development for sense gratification. But neither is there real any economic development, nor are people's senses being really gratified, because they're not following the laws of nature. And therefore they've invented that by satisfying lust, you can become happy. But that's the opposite. If you get nice food, clean air, fresh water, nice relationships, then you'll become satisfied. And if you have the opposite, you have food which is in the mode of ignorance, you have air which is contaminated, you have water which is contaminated, you have relationships which is stressful, then everyone's in distress. And therefore they're simply running after the next advertisement that promises that this will relieve them of distress. So they're simply running into the mode of ignorance. In America now, one of the main causes of death is opiate over addiction and overdose. They have heroin, which everyone is familiar with, but they came up with some chemical which is 1,000 or more times more potent than heroin, some chemical. And if you just touch it, you can die. It gets into your bloodstream, you overdose, and you die. So this is their progress. They've produced such a stressful civilization that people have become addicted to painkillers, and the pain, they kill the pain, they kill you too. If you didn't exist, then there's no more pain. And of course they tell people, don't worry about it, it's not addictive, you know, it's not harmful. And they wind up killing literally hundreds and thousands of people, and they just pay something to the government. They make, like this company that made it, this family, they made like hundreds of billions of dollars, and they get fined $5 billion or something. So it's profitable. It's just part of the cost of business. Kill 100,000 people, pay a few billion dollars or something, just the cost of business. And you wind up with hundreds of billions of dollars in profit. So Krishna has divided up society according this way, and since most people are in the mode of goodness, in the mode of ignorance, therefore, to actually elevate them to the mode of, through the modes of material nature, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has introduced the Sankirtan movement. Because the chanting of Hare Krishna can actually purify people's hearts, and as their heart becomes purified, therefore they can actually enter into the human form of life and start regulating, controlling their senses. And from there, gradually, as we can see, there's an awakening. Because when I was younger, when I became a vegetarian, people thought I was crazy. They thought, oh yeah, how long have you been a vegetarian? 2 weeks, let's see. Whether it's really possible. And it was difficult, actually, because there were no cookbooks, there were no, practically speaking, vegetarian in America meant boiled cabbage and some potatoes. That was the vegetable. Maybe if you had a few carrots, if you were a fanatic. But now it's quite common. Of course, they've gone to the other extreme, that milk is poisonous. And that. But anyhow, vegetarianism is not so uncommon nowadays, in some form or another. And even they have some, in Harvard University, they have some, what do they call that? It's some division of Harvard where they're studying animal rights. Some section of Harvard now has grants for studying animal rights, which is our, I mean, they don't even have human rights anymore. But somehow or another, they're studying animal rights. Maybe the day will come when the animals will have all the rights. And the humans will be, you know, sent to the slaughterhouse. In any case, it's some sign of progress, and the sign of progress is undoubtedly due to the chanting of the holy names and the distribution of Krishna consciousness. People will have some kind of knowledge. But as it further goes on, then people may understand, as we may understand, what the influence of the mode of goodness is, and try to act in Krishna consciousness in the mode of goodness so one can be elevated to the spiritual position. So Prabhupada writes that it's actually the Sankirtan movement that's possible to utilize properly the modes of nature we're situated. In first canto, chapter 5, text 32, etam sushushitam brahmans, Prabhupada writes that if you have some intelligence, some ability to communicate, then utilize it to convince people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you have some managerial organization ability, utilize it to organize the Sankirtan movement. if you have some resources, and utilize them for the Sankirtan movement. And what will be your benefit? If you do that, gradually you'll develop a taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna. Then the Hare Krishna mantra will become alive to you. Hearing about Krishna will become alive. But in the absence of a pure taste for hearing and chanting, then whatever tendencies we have should be utilized to spread Krishna consciousness, the Sankirtan movement, and that will help us progress in our attempt to get Katha Ruchi, or a taste for the holy name, which is essentially a taste for our relationship with Krishna. So that's what Varnanara Ashram is meant for, to elevate people to the mode of goodness and ultimately lead to transcend the mode of goodness and reestablish their relation with Krishna. But since Varnanara Ashram is not practical in this age as it is now, as the age is now, therefore we utilize our tendencies in the Sankirtan movement, and that will give us all the auspicious results of the Varnanara Ashram system. And in the meantime, we take parts of the Varnanara Ashram system, especially ashram now, and we separate the men from the women, because that's the essence of the Varnanara Ashram system. It otherwise is disturbance due to unwanted population. So the relationship between men and women should be controlled. Otherwise, one will become infatuated by the modes of material nature and think oneself to be Radha and Krishna, which is what the whole material world is about. I'm Radha and Krishna, or I'm Tarzan and Jane, or Mickey Mouse or Minnie Mouse. That's the normal infatuation. Now it's become much more degraded. So that's Varnanara Ashram Dharma. And the Varnas just get something to eat and a place to sleep. Varna is all meant for sacrifice for Vishnu, and when Vishnu is pleased and he provides rain and the grains are produced and we get something to eat. So it's Varna Ashram is not as complicated as it appears. It's meant to regulate our sense gratification and provide us with the means to have some kind of sense gratification, real sense gratification. And well, one can live a peaceful life when one's relationship with others is proper and one is able to maintain the body in a healthy state, then one can naturally think about Krishna without disturbance. So, I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
So, these different varnas are according to the modes of nature. And as I understood, they are like, at least in previous times, it was like difficult to go from one to the other in just one lifetime or few decades or few years.
Well,
or something.
It's difficult to change your mode.
So, yeah. So, and on the other hand, in our movement, we are expected to raise to the mode of goodness. So, and we come from like utter ignorance. So how are we supposed to do that? If
chant Hare Krishna. Follow the principle.
How is this how these two go together?
Because we're associating with Krishna. And they also associated in the Varnanara Ashram system with Krishna. It was all meant for sacrifice for Vishnu. So they also became elevated. But our chanting, first of all, they live for, in Dwapara Yuga, they live for 1,000 years. And in Treta Yuga, they live for 10,000 years. In Satya Yuga, they live for 100,000 of our years. So therefore, they had a little bit more time than we have. So although our process may be quicker, but we have less time to do it in. The other thing is that it wasn't so disturbing in Satya Yuga or Treta Yuga or Dwarapa Yuga, so people didn't have so much an impetus to become perfect. But in this age, an intelligent person has a lot of inspiration, and they see how the society is destructing to get out of here as soon as possible. So it's not just the chanting. The chanting is available. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come, and he's, by his presence we can learn chanting in the mood of separation. But also the inspiration comes from just chanting with some sincerity, realizing the necessity to become, make advancement. Otherwise, we can see many devotees come. They chant Shnik Shnik Ram Ram Devi, and they don't go anywhere except out the temple, somewhere else. So it could be a quick process if someone is sincerely trying to progress, and could be a very slow process when it's not very sincere.